Let's give God some honor and glory today. Give some praise this morning. Woo, Keon laid that song out. Jeanette laid that dance out. Woo, Peter is bad. Woo, hallelujah, our band. Hallelujah. Our band is wonderful. Our band is wonderful. This is such a great day. 7 years of ministry. Pastor Kelly said it went by fast. Woo! It went like that. But it gives me such great honor and privilege. You're going to hear a wonderful message today from a wonderful woman who has been anointed by God from the beginning. It gives me pleasure to introduce our very own Pastor Kelly! Woo!
God. God is all about you. May I decrease so that you can increase. Let's pray. God, you are so, so good. And I don't know. I know I didn't do one thing to deserve your love. And I know I didn't do one thing to deserve your grace. And I know that I am one of the lowest sinners. And you look down upon me. And you chose me to love me. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every one of these gathered today. Gracious God, help them to know that my cup runs over. My cup runs over. And Lord, we give you the praise because we know that it's not about any of us in this room, that it's all about you. And may you get the ultimate glory, honor, and praise in everything that we say and do. And we give you the praise, Lord Jesus. We ask your blessings upon this message. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Boy, oh boy, you all have me tearing up so bad. But God is good. All the time. Wow. Thank you so much. You all probably have heard me say that my love language is words of affirmation. So I definitely feel loved in the house today. And I also want to say hello to Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby for all their, although they are not here with us physically, they are always with us spiritually. And it was very hard when they had to go all the way down to Georgia during this time. And they watched us on the internet this morning, and I'm not sure if they're with us right now, but I just am so thankful because I was so inspired by them as pastors. You know, I often think that everyone knows my story and the story of my call because so many of us were here when it happened, and I got kind of tired of talking about it. I thought you all got tired of hearing about it, so I stopped really saying anything about it. But then I realized when my 8-year-old Trinity said, you know, she didn't know too much about what had happened. Although she was there, she was a little baby most of the time. And so she was like, I really don't know anything about going to Pittsburgh and all that other stuff. And so I figured we also have a lot of new people who have not heard the story. So if you would indulge me, those of us that's heard it a million times, don't go to sleep on me. But I wanted to share a little bit of the story of my call. And that my call actually began when I walked into the doors 14 years ago here at Glenville New Life Community Church. And I came as just a person. My sister was getting married, and she kind of dragged me in, and I was kicking and screaming like, I really don't want to go to that church. I really don't want to be bothered by them people. You can go all by yourself. But my sister is persistent, thank God. And she got me in the building. Because, see, saints, one of the young people in our Young Ladies of Faith told me, she said, you just don't understand anything what I'm going through, Pastor Kelly. And I was like, girl, if you only knew that I know all yours plus some more. I don't ever want anyone to think that this was my starting point here at Glenville, that I came in this church very broken and full of a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, and a lot of it caused by other people, but a lot of it caused by me and my failure to recognize there was a God and to be obedient to that God. So when I came in the doors of Glenville, I was very broken, very beat up, and I had this little daughter named Whitney. She was still in the nursery and still wearing Pampers. Thank God she went home so she don't have to hear that. Well, it was the two of us with my sister and her two children and her family, and we all came to Glenville, and you all received me and her and our families with so much love, so much appreciation. I could not believe it. I was like, what's up with those people being so friendly and so loving? And at first, I couldn't even feel it because I didn't understand what true love was. And you all were just gushing, and I was like, oh, what's wrong with these people? Why are they loving me so much? Because no one had ever done that kind of stuff before. And so since I walked in that first day, I have yet to leave out of the doors again. I've been back just about every day sometimes. And I started out just like you guys. I was a member in the pew, and I decided, you know, I sat and listened to the preached word, and I listened to the songs, and so I said, let me get involved. Just like, you know, let me get involved. And I became the leader of the Girl Scouts, and along with Ella from the first service and Deborah from the first service and Vicky, and we were Girl Scout troop leaders, and I know at least one of my Girl Scouts is in the house right now. Two of them in the house. But they grew up, and they went on to college, and many of them are well into their adult years and having children now, and God is good from them Girl Scout days when we was out camping in the cold and in the rain and in the mud. It was some hard years. And I remember when I got here, I was just like you, and I decided to get involved. And Glenville didn't look like this, Saints. It was these pews, and they was brown. And we used to all gather. Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby would say, hey, let's paint the church, or hey, let's strip the wood and repaint the varnish, or something crazy like that. And we would all be wrapped up in scarves, and we would be stripping paint and painting walls and stripping the pews and painting the pews. Anybody remember those days? And the fellowship hall didn't used to be like that. We was all down there hanging up wallpaper and all kind of interesting things. And so I became a part. I remember, you remember a couple weeks ago when the adult women dancers danced, and I was over there in my spot, and one of the young people said, I didn't know Pastor Kelly was a liturgical dancer. And I was like, man, back in the day, all of us was liturgical dancers. That's all we did all the time. So I was a liturgical dancer, and then I was looking at all the lay pastors up here. I remember when I was a lay pastor, and we was all together learning how to preach and learning how to run all the machines and gadgets and things like that. And so I said, let me get involved. And then as I was trying to figure out what my future was, I knew God had called me, but I just didn't know what he had called me to. And I knew I wanted to serve God, but I also knew I needed a paycheck. You know, I needed some money, needed some health insurance. So I thought, you know, my brother was in the Air Force at the time, and, you know, I had already graduated college, and he was like, why don't you come on and come into the service? You know, you'll get a paycheck, you'll get some benefits. And I said, that sounds like a good idea. So I was talking to Pastor Rick about it, and he said, no, I think you should go to seminary. And I was like, seminary don't have a paycheck. Seminary don't have health insurance. This is not adding up, Pastor Rick. I'm telling you, I'm broken. You telling me to go get more broke. So, but when he said that, something stirred in my soul, Saints. And it was like God was saying, this is what you're always meant to do. This right here. And I wasn't always good at that because, you see, back in the day, there were no women pastors. And when I walked in the door, you know, many people get Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby confused when you first meet them. And Pastor Rick was here all the time by himself, and Pastor Toby would be off preaching, but when you're new to the church, you don't realize that. And so I was like, well, who is this Pastor Toby? And then one Sunday, she showed up, and I was like, wow, what a woman pastor? It just, you didn't see that kind of stuff back in the day. And so I was so inspired by her to believe that God could use women, that God could use women. And it still bothers me, Saints, when I hear women say, you can't do this or you can't do that. There is nothing that we cannot do without Jesus Christ. All of us, male and female. So I went on off to seminary, and I didn't have two nickels to rub together, and I had little Whitney, and all we had was a car. We didn't have much of nothing, and that car used to break down a lot. And you guys told me you were going to be faithful to me. and support me through seminary. And you did. I was like, wow, these people are actually sending me money. But every month you sent me a check, and every year you made sure we had Christmas presents for Whitney and birthday presents and things like that for Whitney. And so the entire time I was in seminary, I didn't accumulate debt because you did what you said you were going to do. You were faithful to your call, and you made sure all of our needs were met. So thank you. So then I graduated seminary, and guess what you all did? You all decided to come up to my graduation. You drove all the way 2 hours to Pittsburgh and attended my graduation. And then when I got back, you threw me another party. I was like, Lord, man, God is good. I'm still amazed. So when I graduated seminary, you don't immediately always get a call, but I knew I was called to Glenville. The people in Pittsburgh said, Pastor Kelly, Kelly, you could stay here. I was like, no, I'm going home. I am a Browns fan, Walter. I'm going home. I want nothing to do with the Steelers. They was hard on me in Pittsburgh, y'all. I was the only Clevelander there. Oh, God, they was hard on me. So I went all the way. I came home, and even though other people were kind of knocking at the door, I said, no, Glenville is where God wants me. So I asked Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby, and Pastor Rick set me down, and he asked me the second question of my life. He said, are you sure you can accept this call? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, Pastor Rick, I got this. He was like, no, Kelly, are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into? You see, Pastor Rick was trying to make it plain for me that this was not going to be easy, that this journey was not going to be a cakewalk, that it was going to be some work. And I kind of tried to listen, but I wasn't getting it. I said, oh, Pastor Rick, this is great. I mean, at the time when I was getting ordained, Glenville was on the upswing, and the finances were booming. We were in a surplus. We had so many members. So much was going on. And I said, yes, we can do this. What kind of suffering is going to be involved in this? I'm good. Let's go. Well, a little bit after I got ordained, we had an economic downturn, saints. Those of you all that were here saw me say, yes, I can. And then we lost some folks. We lost a lot of members of Glenville through death. Then the economy hit us hard, and many people lost their jobs, and our tithing went from here to here. We were negative, in the red for a long time. And for many of my years, for about the first 6 years of my ministry, I did not get a pay raise. And I also did not have health insurance. And I kept saying, Lord, you sure about this call to Glenville? And I started remembering that those words Pastor Rick said, can you accept this call? Can you really do this? You see, saints, what I realize is that many of us step up to the plate and we say, yes, I can, yes, I can. But saying, yes, I can is a whole lot different from actually walking the walk and talking the talk. Think about it. All of us in here that want to get married or are married, we said, oh, I can't wait to get married. Yes, I can do this. And we was running. I mean, y'all should have seen me on my wedding day. I ran down the aisle. I was like running down the aisle. I didn't have a pretty march. I ran. So I was like, yes, I can. And then, you know, sometimes it takes 6 months later after you say I do. It only took me on the airplane ride to the honeymoon. And me and Terrence was looking at each other like, exactly, why did we get married? We argue so much on that plane flight. And then all of us, when we go off to college, we're like, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. I want this degree. Then we take those first finals. And we're like, mommy, daddy, can I come back home, please? Gentleman in the first service, he was telling me his son is graduating college this weekend. And it was a long journey for them. And he said at the 2-year mark, his son called him and said, I'm coming home. And his dad said, no, you're not. You stay right where you are. But we all step up. All of us, we pray for those jobs. How many of y'all was praying for your job? And then as soon as you got it, you was like, I can't wait to quit this job. Because you realize that it was a lot of grueling hours and a lot of work and very, very little pay. All of us that are parents in here, we say, yes, I can. We can't wait to have that little bitty baby. And they're so precious when they're first born, and they're all cute and cuddly and looking all good. And then for some reason, they decide they want to stay up all night and cry. Or they want to have colic and, you know, and then they just won't stop using up those diapers and formula. And you're thinking, why in the world did I decide to become a parent? You're not so cute anymore. How can I get rid of this little kid? Then when you experience the terrible twos and then the terrible threes, and teenagers close your ears because it's also the terrible teens. Y'all know it's not easy. Come on now. It's not easy for y'all. It's not easy for us. But we set out to be these great and awesome parents, and then when the reality of doing the work sets in, we realize it's hard work. We are all in our Striving for Excellence, Excelling for Giving campaign, and all of us have stepped up to the plate and said, yes, I can. And I was so excited last Sunday because Sylvia called me. They had all counted much of the money, and the first fruit offering was like $7,800, saints. $7,800, and it's still more to be counted because they hadn't finished. They were just counting up cash and checks, but they hadn't counted what was turned in previously to that. So I was thinking, wow, everybody stepped up to the plate, and not only did we give that $7,800, we still gave our tithes, our regular tithes and offerings. I mean, says, look in the bulletin. It was a pretty big number. Look at that. Another $7,600 in tithes and offerings, saints. And then, as if that wasn't enough, after Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby told us the sad news that they had lost their father, and we came up and we said, you know what? We're not going to send our pastors all the way down to Dublin, Georgia without no assistance. And some of y'all dug a little deeper, and we collected another $800 offering. God is good. God is good. And we stepped up to the plate in our first fruit offering. We said, yes, I can. But the question will become over these next 2 years is, can you keep your commitment? Can you be faithful? Can you be faithful to your call to give? You see, saints, when we stand up and say, yes, I can, it was real easy at that point. But in the next 2 years, when some of us lose our jobs or the money gets a little short or a little tighter, different things happen in our families that affect our finances, will you stay faithful to your call? Will you stay faithful to the call of giving? You see, saints, what we all know is that all of us are called. All of us are called. But the question is, can we be faithful to the call? As I said, the easy part is stepping up and saying yes. But the hard part is being faithful. You see, saints, when I decided to come here to Glenville New Life Community Church, I saw Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby up here preaching all on Sundays, and they looked all good, and they said these wonderful words that changed people's lives, and I thought, wow, I can do something like that. Then I graduated, I was ordained, and I was thinking, oh, go up there and preach. And Pastor Rick was like, no, we need to go back here in the bathroom. The toilet is clogged up. And I was like, the toilet clogged up. It's like your first lesson in ministry, the ministry of the toilet brush. It's like, they really didn't have a toilet cleaning class in seminary. Then Pastor T was like, come on, we got to go down to the kitchen. I was like, go down to the kitchen for what? We got to clean. I was like, clean the kitchen? The ministry of the kitchen brush, scrubbing those tables, sweeping the floor. You see, we all are called, but can we be faithful even in the small things? You see, many of us think all the glamorous things we can do for God, but can we be faithful in the small things when God calls us to go in the bathroom and pick up tissue off the floor, or go in the bathroom and clean the toilet, because a lot of you all like to leave special packages in there for us pastors to clean up later on. I think, who do they think cleans this mess up? It's me, Pastor Rick, Pastor Toby, Hassan, Mr. Dan Weiler, Morrell. But can we be faithful when God says, I need you down in the kitchen serving food, or I need you out on the lawn cutting the grass, or I need you out in the community spreading the word, saying, see, it's easy to step up and say yes, but it's more difficult to actually be faithful to the call. You know, the book of Acts teaches us about how the church grew, how we as the church grew. But saying sometimes in that story, we don't realize that when the church was growing, they called these deacons and they said, we need some help. We cannot do this all by ourselves. So they called up the deacons and they said, deacons, help us out to serve all the people. Well, those deacons stepped up, saints. And saints, I realize if we look at the book of Acts, can you put that scripture up that lists their names of Stephen and Timon and all the rest of the names that I can't pronounce? I think it's, do you have that, Karen? She's working with us. It's Acts chapter 6. There it is. Verse 5. Read that with me. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Jerusalem. Now you see, we all have heard of Stephen. We all have heard of Philip. But did you all hear about the rest of those people? We don't know who they was from a man in the moon. But their part was just as important as all the rest of the disciples. Every single person is important. Saints, we all have a part in growing the kingdom of God. And my part, or Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby's part, because we're all pastors, is not bigger than your part. Your part is not bigger than my part. We said in our campaign, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifices. Amen. You see, what I realized in these last 7 years of ministry is that I'm Pastor Kelly. I'm probably not going to be like Martin Luther King Jr. I don't know if I want to be like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not looking to be some great pastor with millions and millions of people in my congregation. If God so chooses to do so, I will gladly go in that direction, but that's not the goal. You see, I realize God is not looking for great leaders, saint. God is looking for leaders and people that realize they serve a great God. Amen. I'm not trying to be a great leader. I'm trying to recognize a great God. Amen. You see, saints, we all can get mixed up sometimes, and we look at the glamorous part, but the pastor's job, the elder's job, the deacon's job, the lay pastor's job, the praise choir, the praise band, the liturgical dancers, the youth, the men of arms, the women of the young ladies of faith, the counters in the back, the ushers, every single one of us is important to the growing of ministry here at Glenville New Life Community Church. You know, I look at the example of Joshua. Joshua was often looked at in the Bible because he was the one that came after Moses. He was the second in command after Moses. And I think about that. Sometimes everybody is such in a rush to become number one. Everybody wants to be out there in the front, saints, but you know what? I'm like Joshua. I don't mind being number two, number three, number four, at the bottom of the list sometimes. It's okay. It's okay, saints. You see, Joshua was called upon by God after Moses passed away. And Joshua, God said to Joshua, I want you to take my people into the promised land. Now, don't those words sound good? The promised land. Who wants to go to the promised land? I know I do. And I'm sure when Joshua heard the words going into the promised land, he said, wow, that looks pretty good. I can go in the promised land. It sounds like a plan for me. But then Joshua and the Israelites realized that the promised land already had people living there. And they didn't want to move. So I'm sure Joshua was thinking, hey, God, why don't you just go ahead and move all those people out of the way first, and then we can go into the promised land. But God had a plan for Joshua, and he said, be obedient to me and follow and go into the promised land. And the book of Joshua, saints, it teaches us about promise, wealth, and victory. And we have those promises from God. Promise, wealth, and victory. Those are ours. But sometimes when we hear those words, we get a little mixed up. We hear wealth, and we think, wow, I'm about to get a mansion. I'm about to get a car. I want a Benz, a Mercedes. We hear victory, and we think everybody in our lives that ever messed with us, they're going to get it. But that's not what those words mean, according to God. God is promising us into the promised land, saints. You see, many of us forget that the Israelites started, they were 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert. They were 40 years in the wilderness. And what Joshua teaches us is that our final destination is not in the wilderness. None of us are meant to stay in the wilderness. None of us are meant to stay in a life of sin. None of us are meant to stay in depression and hardship and poverty. None of us are supposed to be in that place. We are all going to the promised land, every single one of us. But sometimes we can get confused and we think, you know, as soon as God says, oh, you're going to have success, that it immediately means that we're not going to have any problems. Saints, the best thing I realized about being a pastor is that my life did not get any easier. In fact, it got a little bit more challenging, a little bit more hard. But I tried to remain faithful to the promise that Jesus Christ has given to me. But I want you to know, saints, that we're all a part of that promise today. Read Matthew 16, verse 18 with me. If Karen, if you would put that on the screen for us. It is coming. Wait for it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. God has said we're all a part of a plan, a part of a promise. He said he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And how do we build the church of God? By building God's people. We can build tens of thousands of buildings, saints, but that is not the church. The church is us. The church is God's people. So how do we do this? We go out and we spread the gospel. We go out and make new disciples. And many of us, when we first hear that, we can say, oh, I can do that. I don't mind going. I want to spread the gospel. But then we look out the door and we say, oh, it's raining today. Oh, it's snowing today. Oh, it's kind of cold out there. Oh, it's too hot. I'm not going out there. Saints, I remember when I first started Glenville, we used to walk everywhere. We was knocking on everybody's door. We was passing out so many cards to so many people, inviting them to church. And we had encountered a few people with some attitude. And many of us, sometimes we see our attitudes, you're like, you know what, I just came to tell you about Jesus. I'm not telling anybody else about Jesus. I've got to deal with all that attitude. And then there was people slamming their doors on us. Bam! I was like, you know, we're not Jehovah's Witness. Let us see. But they closed those doors, saints. And many of us, we were out there in the freezing cold. Remember that winter we was out there passing out hot cocoa and candy canes? But saints, it's not easy. And sometimes when we say, yes, I can, and the real work comes about, we get a little challenged. We all of a sudden can't make it no more. We can't get the rest of the way. And one thing that has helped me to stay faithful, saints, in this 7 years and before that 7 years is that I learned to realize that every place that my foot touches, God has given to me. Every place. So when I come in here and my foot touches Glenville, when I'm at home and my foot is touching my house, when I'm outside in the streets, God has given that to me. In the same manner, every place that your feet touch, God has given to you. God has given to you. So my question to you is the same question that Pastor Rick asked me 7 years ago. Can you be faithful to the call that God has given to you in ministry? You see, saints, I realize that we have a long way to go. We are are currently at our 48-year mark of ministry here at Glenville New Life Community Church. And we are preparing right now in our Striving for Excellence, Excelling for Giving campaign for our 50-year mark, saints. But we're not just preparing for the 50-year mark, we're preparing for the next 50 years. You see, saints, we always hear Pastor Rick say things like, well, if I happen to die, I want y'all to know how to do this. Y'all remember him saying that? He always wants us to know. Well, we all realize that Pastor Rick is not the only one that's going to leave this earth someday. I'm going to leave this earth someday. You all are going to leave this earth someday. So we are all preparing now for what is coming next, saints. And we have our work ahead of us. Right. You know, whenever we talk about me having worked for 6 years without a raise, I always think, but I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby serve faithfully. They have not had a raise. Our secretaries serve faithfully without a raise. Our outreach minister, Minister Sylvia, she serves. Oh my God, you all wouldn't believe how many hours Sylvia put in. She serves faithfully. Our band, our praise band, they come in here and practice and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and they serve faithfully, saints. It is not just a budget we're going toward that is going to support three pastors. We are supporting an entire staff for ministry, an entire staff, saints, because God has placed us a vision here at Glenville. We all see the youth are growing, but it's not just the youth that are growing. We're not just going to have a strong youth ministry. We are going to have a strong senior ministry, a strong singles ministry, a strong mission ministry. I don't know about you all, but I'm so ready to go across to Africa or down south to Haiti or somewhere where we can do ministry. The Dominican Republic, saints, God is saying, I have this plan for you, but can you be faithful during the call? And I know you might be sitting there thinking, wow, how can we do all of this stuff on top of what we're already doing? But Jesus has given us some statements in the book of Joshua. And he told Joshua, be strong and courageous, not just when it's easy. Be strong and courageous, not just when everything is going according to your plan. Be strong and courageous in the face of the enemy. Be strong and courageous when it seems like your family is falling apart. Be strong and courageous during those difficult years. And observe my law. You know, it's so funny to me that when we're going through problems, we ask everybody under the sun for what to do when it's right here. Every little bit of help we need is right here. And Jesus says, do according to what is written in my word. Do according to what is written in my word. Wow. You think, will that really solve our problems? Yes, it will. Jesus also tells us to be God confident, not self-confident. Be God confident. You see, I realize that everything you all have said is so nice and wonderful about me. But I realize that none of it do I deserve. Not one compliment do I deserve. Because I know that the God Almighty has done everything in my life. So everything, every good compliment is to God, saints. Every single one. Because God says be God confident, not so confident in ourselves, but confident that we serve a God who always has the victory. And the final thing that the Bible, the Joshua teaches us is that the Lord, your God, is always with you. Always with us. No matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing, no matter who's around us, no matter what is happening right or wrong, the Lord, your God, is always with you. Amen and amen. God, you are so good. You are so amazing, so generous. And you are always faithful to us, Lord Jesus. Even, Lord, at the times in our lives when we have not been so faithful to you, you always provide for us. You always give to us. You always give us your excellence. And we thank you. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for delivering us from some trying situations and some hurtful past. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise of the future that you have for each and every one of us. And we give you all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. Saints.